Good morning, everybody. You may have seen, you may have heard, there's a question that's being raised around the country, indeed around the world. It's been seen on the press, and it's been raised on social media platforms. And the question that's being asked is about what happens and what we will all do when things get back to normal. The question is normally phrased like this: will we ever be the same again? Well, that got me thinking. And I've got to say that as I've thought about this, as I've prayed about what life will be like after this, the answer that I come back to that question, will we ever be the same again, is I hope not. I genuinely hope and pray that when the coronavirus that passes, we won't just drift back into our old way of being, our old way of doing things. I really feel that this would be the worst thing that could happen. That when the lockdown is finally lifted, we would just go back to the way we were before. When this is all over, when the coronavirus threat has passed, we must not go just back to the way we were before. Indeed, we must never be the same again. You know, preaching involves at least two responsibilities. The first is to explain the Bible and relate it to life. And the second is to take life and explain it in light of Scripture today. This is now more true than ever. With this in mind, please will you turn with me to Psalm 46. Now, this psalm, this song, was written for the sons of Korah. It's written in a time of national catastrophe and chaos for Israel. Really troublesome times, times of unparalleled uncertainty. The world as they knew it was crumbling all around them. And although this psalm was written with the nation of Israel in mind, it certainly applies to us today as well. Now, before we get into the text of the psalm, I want to explain that there is a common word at the end of verse 3, verse 7 and verse 11 that is not actually even recorded in the NIV that we use. The reason for this is because the word in question, Salah, isn't completely understood. We don't actually know its full meaning. It's been lost in time. But this word is used 74 times in the Old Testament, 71 times in the Psalms and 3 times in the book of Habakkuk. Now, as we know from the title of this psalm, it was designed to be sung. In the title description, it says it's a song. And because of this, it seems likely that Salah is something musical. Perhaps a rest in which singers stopped singing to take a breath. Perhaps only so the musical instruments could be heard. According to one of the Bible dictionaries, it could also signify a musical crescendo followed by silent reflection. Some of the earliest translations of the Old Testament used the word intermission for Salah. Indeed, the New Living Translation picks up on that very thing by using the word interlude. The idea that I want us to understand is about taking a breath in order to reflect and remember. In the Amplified version, when the word Salah appears, it says, pause and calmly think about. I like that. It is this that I want us to contemplate this morning. And because the word Salah appears 3 times in this passage, we'll follow this natural rhythm by pausing, turning and praising each time we come across it. Listen now to God's holy, inspired, inerrant, and authoritative word. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Now, let's pause for a moment. And as we pause, let's think about what we've just read. Let's allow these wonderful words talk to us. Let us, in a very real way, be still and know that he is God. And now, as we think about what we've heard and read, even in the very midst of our problems, let's choose to pause, turn, and praise God for all the blessings that he gives us. Let's pause right now. Let's turn and let's praise God for his promise. God is for us. This is what we read in the first three verses of our psalm. His presence, he is with you. This is what we read in verses 4-7. His power, he is above you. This is what we read in verses 8-11. This morning we're going to look at these three themes together, beginning by looking at the first three verses. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. You may remember from the other week that one of the names for God is Elohim, which means he is our fortress. In the midst of whatever we're feeling today, God promises to be our refuge, our strength, and our help. He's not pointing us to a fortress. He himself is our fortress, our refuge. God is our refuge even when what seems secure is now unstable. The word refuge is a place of trust, an impenetrable shelter. In this time of lockdown, we've been told to stay at home and to stay safe. And while we're doing that, let's use this time wisely. Let's do as Chronicles 7:14 reminds us. Let's seek God's face. Let's cry out in prayer, like we hear in Psalm 142, verse 5. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. God promises to hide us in his shelter, and he can help us by his strength. He is also an ever-present help in trouble. The word or words ever-present means that God helps abundantly and greatly right now in our present situation. Aren't you glad we serve a God who comes to our assistance when we are plagued? He is always available and always accessible. As Psalm 9 verse 9 says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." You know, when I think about these words, when I think about these things, I keep on hearing the words of that wonderful kids song in my head. Our God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing our God cannot do. And the truth is this, that we can rely on God. We can rely on him because of his great size, because of his great strength, and because of his might. And we can rely on him all the time, particularly when we're feeling weak and defenseless. This phrase, an ever-present help, means God is quick to give assistance because he has always been everything we've ever needed. And because that is the case, he is everything we need right now. And he will be everything we need for the future too. It literally means that God has proved himself to be such a help in the past that we can trust him in the present and for the future. In verse 2, the writer is imagining the worst calamity that could possibly hit as he describes earthquakes shaking, volcanoes erupting, and mountains collapsing into the sea. When you think about it, it's a bit like a reverse picture, the unmaking of the world. In Genesis chapter 1, God divides the land from the sea, and here we see the land thrown back into the sea. Even though the earth gives way, or the landscape suddenly changes, God's word tells us here, we don't have to be afraid. You know, mountains provided refuge in times of war and were considered to be the most secure part of nature. They were the most fixed and firm and solid things on earth. Yet here, we hear that they are collapsing into the sea, that they are being shaken down by earthquakes, they are being destroyed by volcanic eruptions. Do you see the parallels to what's going on in the world today? The very fabric of society is being challenged by the coronavirus. Everything that we thought was solid ground, the mountains of our lives, have been shaken up, have been thrown into chaos, and have been shown to have no real strength. Our sense of invulnerability as citizens of this planet has been replaced with quaking and concern about the future. It's fair to say that the entire world has been humbled by the coronavirus pandemic. And it is into this that God speaks. And what does he say to us? He says, I am your refuge and your strength. Breathe that in for a moment. God says, I am your refuge and your strength. Oh, thank you, God. You're in control of everything. I need have no fear. Let me just run to you for refuge, my fortress. You know, I'm praying that even in the midst of this pandemic, that the tragedy of it will bring each one of us to our knees and cause us to be more humble, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 so beautifully puts it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And the first Selah is found at the end of verse 3. We've just got there now. So let's pause. Let's turn. And let's praise God for his promises right now. Even when the whole world is turned upside down, we can run to him for refuge. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are our rock, our fortress, our strong tower, our refuge. Lord, help us to come to you and to find peace in you. Lord, even in the midst of the storm that is raging around us right now, let us know that you are for us and that none can stand against. Father, pour out your peace on your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to move on and have a look at verses 4 to 7. Let's read them again. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. God promises us shelter when we seek him. Now, fortunately, we don't have to run very far to find him because his presence is right here with us. Read verse 4 again. The picture it paints is so beautiful, and it is a picture for us. First of all, the city of God is Jerusalem. But whilst Jerusalem was a very beautiful city, it didn't have a river running through it like other major cities and countries of the day had. Babylon was built on the river Euphrates. Rome on the river Tiber. In Egypt, they had the Nile. Jerusalem didn't have a river, but it had something even better. For Jerusalem had the very presence of God, a spiritual river, the river of God. Back to the other week and the names of God again. Do you remember Elyon, which refers to God as the highest of all? He is sovereign and supreme. And in these verses we read that the supreme God, the Most High God, is present with us. God's grace flows like a river to bring gladness and joy to his people. And that grace, that gladness, that peace and joy comes from where? Comes to us when? It comes from God. And it comes even while the oceans roar and foam. You see, God's presence is the ultimate presence. Here is depicted as a calm and gentle flowing river, deep and cool and strong. And what a picture that is! A strong but calm river rather than roaring and foaming seas. In the Bible, God's favour is often written about as being like a river. Psalm 36 verse 8 says, "They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights." Do you see, this image represents happiness, abundance and peace, even when everything else is falling apart. So here's a question for each and every one of us this morning. Do you need the river of God in your life right now? I know I do. God's presence with his people is one of the central truths of Scripture. Verse 5 says that God is within her. And verse 7 declares that the Lord Almighty is with us. This means that when we put our faith in Jesus, we have God with us at all times. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a great comfort? And then, did you notice the last part of verse 5? God will help her at break of day. No matter how bad things get, God's presence means he will help us. When we wake up to start a new day, we will experience what Jeremiah did in Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 23, which says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." God is faithful to us. He will never leave us or forsake us. As we were reminded a couple of Sundays ago, Romans 8 verse 39 says, "Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Even in the height of the coronavirus pandemic, God is still with his people. No matter how bad things get, we can always count on his presence. His presence with us, his people. And verse 7 of our psalm says, "The Lord Almighty is with us." Here we're introduced to another name for God, Jehovah Sabaoth, which means Lord of Angel Armies. The Lord Almighty has all the hosts of heaven ready to do his bidding. Do you remember the other Sunday we read that Jesus told Peter he could call on the heavenly host and his Father would send them? 72,000 of them. Our God is the King and Commander of angel armies, and they accomplish his purposes. He is God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. Psalm 24 verse 10 asks the question, who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the King of glory, Selah. I love how verse 7 of our psalm ends, the God of Jacob is our fortress. As in verse 1, God is depicted not only as powerful, but also as a fortress that we can run to for safety. He is our refuge. But in that, don't miss that he is also the God of Jacob. Now, do you remember who Jacob was? Jacob was known as a deceiver, a man with a twisted mind and a twisted heart. But even though Jacob had a lot of faults, God struck with him, shaping him and moulding him into a man of faith, changing his name to Israel, which means Prince of God. Aren't you glad that God takes selfish sinners like us and changes us from the inside out? Aren't you glad that God can make something beautiful from something so broken? Aren't you glad that God Almighty wants you for his daughter, for his son? And now let's pause, turn, and praise God again as we have reached the second Selah. And now let's thank God for his presence with us. Let this prayer be a personal prayer for each one of us. Father God, thank you that wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever storms I face, I know that I am not alone. You are always with me. Lord, thank you for the comfort that the Lord of hosts, the God of our angel armies, is always by my side. Amen. You know, we've now seen two great truths from God for us today. First, we can depend on God during times like this because of his promise. And secondly, we can rely on God even in times like this because of his presence. And now finally, as we read the last few verses of our psalm, we find that we can rely on him also because of his power. Read with me, and we will see the very heart of God in verses 8 to 11. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. According to verse 8, we're called to come and see what God has done, to behold, to look, to take note. This verse tells us that we're to behold the works of the Lord. And the word desolation means ruin, astonishment, wasting, dismay, and horror. Let this time be a time when we take note of what God is doing. Let this be a time when we rediscover a real hunger and a real thirst for the things of God, that our relationship with him is restored, that we are on a better footing with God than we have ever been before. You know, there's a world out there that is desperate for the word of God, particularly at this time with all of their fear. And the word of God says that no matter what else is going on, he remains firm, he remains strong, he remains trustworthy, he remains faithful, and he remains with us. Oh, church, do you see? Today more than ever, we have an opportunity to be displaying to everybody in the world who God is. Oh, church, today more than ever, let's get into the Father's heart, which is that all the world will come to know him. Oh, church, more now than ever, let's live out his mission to this world. Oh, church, our location may have changed, but our mission remains the same. We are his people, signposts to his kingdom. Let his name be proclaimed. Verse 9 shows us that in his position as the Almighty God, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. At the time this psalm was written, the Assyrian Empire was the greatest force in the world. It had already overrun many of the smaller kingdoms and hoped to occupy, to conquer the whole world. But God had other plans. A broken bow is of no value, and a spear that is shattered is no longer effective. Shields which are set on fire cannot function. Hasn't it felt like there's nothing we can do to stop this virus? We felt helpless and even hopeless. But we must never, ever forget that in his position as sovereign king, God is in charge. Listen, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has shattered sin and Satan and demolished death. He has broken our bondage, so we don't need to live in fear. You know, the majority of this psalm is written in the third person, as the psalmist speaks about God. But in verse 10, the Lord speaks in the first person from his position as sovereign ruler. And we're called to be still and know that I am God. This is God's word. To be still in this context means to cast down or let fall. It signifies a letting go of. In this moment, God speaks. He says we're to stop fighting a battle we can't win on our own. The picture is of us opening our clenched fists and letting our hands fall to our sides as we leave matters with God. We're not to just have a moment of silence or even to just be quiet. We're to cease and desist. We're to surrender and to let go to his will. You see, the purpose of being still is so we can know God, so we can hear God. And to know means to acknowledge and comprehend, to discover intimately. It's not enough to just know about him. We're called to know God relationally, to be in relationship with him. We're called to hear his voice. But we can't know God like this until we become still before him. You see, this is actually a rebuke. We're to cease striving and fretting and working in our own self-effort and fully submit ourselves to him. Read Zechariah chapter 2, verse 13, which says, "Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling." And notice the last part of verse 10 in Psalm 46, which says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." It's as we quiet our souls and reflect on his position of power as Lord over the whole world, over the whole universe, that we will recognize his supremacy and his inevitable triumph over the nations. Until we're still and surrendered before him, the reality of his coming exaltation among all the nations will not truly impact us. Brothers and sisters, no matter what happens, remember this. God will be exalted among the nations, and he will be exalted in the earth. He is working out all things for his glory and for our ultimate good. Then we read verse 11, which is a great summary statement of this entire psalm, repeating verse 7 again, because the Lord Almighty is with us. Because the God of Jacob is our fortress, we can trust in him. Jesus Christ is God and Lord of history. Nothing has ever happened that is outside his plan. Do you hear this today? Nothing ever leaves him bewildered or astonished. Nothing ever catches him by surprise. Through incredible upheaval, though the mountains fall into the sea, still those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour have nothing to fear. Whether the coronavirus leads to more catastrophe and confusion, or the nations rage against one another, God is still our refuge, always our fortress. No matter what happens, we can still choose to pause. We can still turn, and we can still praise him for his promise, for his presence, and for his power. Let's pause here now at the final Salah and praise God for his power. God says it's time to cease striving and surrender before him. Affirm the central truth of Scripture that he is supremely powerful and will be exalted among the nations. And as we do this, let's pray again. Once more, a personal, individual prayer. Father, thank you that you are in control. Thank you that I can rest in you. Lord, right here and now, I surrender myself to you once more and ask that you would reign in my life again completely. Thank you, God, that you are my refuge, my strong tower, my fortress. And thank you that you will be exalted. Thank you that you know all the answers and that, Lord, the whole picture is yours. Lord, I surrender to your will. Without fear, for you alone are God. Amen. While the virus may indeed awaken our world, my prayer is that the sleeping giant called the church, which means us at SBC as well, will wake up and be determined to demonstrate and share the gospel of Jesus Christ like we have never done before. In the midst of our problems, let's choose to pause, turn, and praise God for his promise. He is for you. This is the story of verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 46. For his presence, he is with you. This is the story of verses 4 to 7 of Psalm 46. For his power, he is above you. This is the story of verses 8 to 11 of Psalm 46. And his promise, his presence, and his power are with us right now. When all of this is over, will we be the same again? Oh no. Please God, no. Don't go back. Pause. Turn and praise God in every situation, in all of our lives, then we won't be the same, and we can't be the same. And as we do this, our prayer must surely be, O Lord, be exalted in my life, be exalted in your church, and be exalted in the world. Amen. Amen.